1 Samuel chapter 5 says this. When the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set up beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both of his hands were lying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. This is why the priest of Dagon and all who enter the house of Dagon do not tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod to this day. The hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how things were, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is hard against us and against Dagon our God." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with this ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath." So they brought the ark of the God of Israel there. But after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing a very great panic. And he afflicted the men of the city, both young and old, so the tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. But as soon as the ark of God came to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought around to us the ark of the God of Israel to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deathly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
And you can go ahead and be seated. We have guests each week, and sometimes I'll have guests ask, "Hey, how come you guys stand up for the reading of God's word when you read the Bible?" Well, we believe that this is the word of God. It doesn't contain the word of God. It is the word of God, and therefore we want to honor it. And when we hear the word of God, we're receiving it, and so we stand in honor of that. So thank you for being a part of that. If that's the first time you're new around here and you're kind of wondering, what is that? That would help you to understand that. When you're reading in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of ways to say the names. Heath was saying Dagon. I grew up in East Texas, and it was Dagon. And so you're going to hear me say Dagon, kind of like tomato, tomato, Phineas or Phinehas, you know, all these kinds of ways. Our sound guy, not today, but one of our sound guys, his name is Eli. He said, "I cannot wait for Eli to die, because every time you talk about Eli in the scripture, I'm looking up. Me? Are you talking about me?" So we've moved on now to chapter 5, all right? In chapter 4 last week, if you'll remember quickly, because chapter 4 is instrumental for chapter 5. It's very important that you catch what happened. Chapter 4, there was a battle, and in that battle, the Philistines, or the Philistines, depending on how you like to say that, the Philistines were drawing up lines to fight against Israel. And Israel had never, listen, they didn't honor the Lord God. You've seen that, the wicked sons, the evil sons of Eli, the high priest, Phinehas and Hophni. They had sex with the temple servants at the temple. They're at the tabernacle. They didn't honor the Lord in worship. They didn't honor him in sacrifices, none of these things. And then all of a sudden, they get routed in a battle, and the elders have this idea, let's get the Ark of the Covenant that's in the tabernacle in Shiloh, let's bring it, and it's going to lead us out. Hophni and Phinehas load it up. They take it to 20 miles. They lead it out into the battle, and there's a huge defeat of Israel. So much so that Hophni and Phinehas, they die together, fulfilled what the prophecy was in chapter 2. They die. The Ark of the Covenant has been captured, the physical representation. Now we know, I want to make sure you get it, God does not live in a box, all right? God does not live in a box. But that Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of his presence among them, because within it, it held the Ten Commandments, his revelation. It held some provision, the provision of God. It held a jar of the manna as they were crossing the desert from the exit, from the being captive from Egypt. It was the mercy seat where reconciliation and mercy is received. And so this is a very important thing, and it says that it was captured. Eli finds out about it. It says he's sitting at the gate of the tabernacle there. When he finds out the ark has been captured, he gasps, falls back in his chair, breaks his neck. It says he broke his neck because he was old, fat, and blind. The story moves on to one of the daughters, the daughter-in-law of one of the high priests, Phinehas. She was pregnant. She finds out, my husband's dead, my father-in-law's dead, the ark has been captured. The stress sent her into so much stress, it sent her into labor. She began to give childbirth. She had a boy, and she died. But she died not before she was able to give the child the name Ichabod. That's not on anybody's top 10 list for naming a child these days, all right? It means no glory. The glory of God has departed. It means the glory of God has departed. So this is where we pick up the story in chapter 5. You see, it's very important that you understand 4. You can kind of get a picture of what's going on as you go into 5. And chapter 5 opens up with verse 1 saying that they had taken the ark, the Philistines had taken the ark, and they had taken it to Ashdod, and they put it in the temple of Dagon, their god. Many people think that Dagon was he was a fish god, because the five cities of the Philistines were along the western coast of the Mediterranean, and they thought, well, he's a fish god. Many also think that Dagon is the fertility wheat god. So he's a vegan fertility god. All right? This is what, because the word Dagon is a root word of a Hebrew word that means wheat. So we're not sure, but he is an idol. That's what we know. He is an idol. Now, the five cities of the Philistines, I think this is a little extra here. You didn't ask for this, but we'll go ahead and give it to you anyway. The five cities of the Philistines are Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, Gath, where the most famous Philistine lived, Goliath, and Gaza. If you'll remember in Judges 16, at the temple, the great temple of Dagon there was a man named Samson who pushed down the pillars. You remember that story? His dying act was to push down the pillars of the temple of Dagon. And so they bring this ark now to Ashdod to put it in a temple there. And so they get that ark there. Today, before I go any further, I want to make sure that you catch something. This is kind of an underlying, overarching, foundational thing that I want you to hear, is that the one true living God, there are no other gods. I want to make sure you hear that. There are no other gods. There's many idols, but there are no other gods. Man makes idols, and they bow down to them in place of the one true living God. They exchange the created, or they exchange the creator for the created. That's what this Bible teaches us. So there's one God. And I want you to know that even this passage is going to teach us that even in our disobedience, the one true living God still fights on behalf of his people and for his name. That should be something of an encouragement to us. Even when we're not faithful, do you realize the Lord God himself will be faithful? You know why he'll be faithful? It's because he has entered into a covenant with you. And that covenant is not based on you. That covenant is based on him. And he is going to protect his name and his glory at all cost, even when we who are his children, his covenant bearers, don't bear his name the way it should be. That should be an encouragement, but it should also be a challenge to us. 3 things I want you to see today as we walk through there. Please mark these down, write them in your Bible or somewhere. The first thing is this. I want you to catch that God defeats all idols. You need to know that. God defeats all idols, and he always will defeat all idols. Notice what verse 2 says. Verse 2 tells us, then they've taken the ark. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and they put it in the house of Dagon and they set it up beside Dagon. In that day, rather than it being just a geopolitical war where nation was against nation and king is against king, they believed in this day that it was God against God. It was God against God. And so what they are proclaiming here is that Dagon, our God, has defeated Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. And so they bring the Ark of the Covenant, which is the representation of God, and they put it right next to Dagon in his temple. Now, the scripture tells us, look at verses 3 and 4. It's not going to be on the screen, but look at this. Verse 3 and 4, it says that they set it in the temple by Dagon. They go home, they go to bed, they get up the next morning, and they come back. And you know what Dagon has done? Dagon has fallen prostrate before Yahweh. He has fallen to worship. Now, you and I both know that no idol can do that, right? The scripture tells us in Isaiah 44, the Lord God speaks to Isaiah and he says, hey, listen, man goes out, they grow a tree, they'll take that tree, they'll cut it in half, and with half of it, they're gonna have firewood. They're going to warm themselves. They're going to bake their bread. With the other half, they're going to make an idol that they carry around. It has ears, but it cannot hear. It has feet that it cannot move. For it to go anywhere, they have to carry it. There are no gods except the one true living God. And now here these Philistines are worshiping an idol, and it falls down at the feet of Yahweh. Can I say this as a comma right quick? If your God falls down and you have to pick it up, it's not a God. Okay? It's not a God. So they set it back up, it says. And in verse 4, they go home and go to bed. They come the next morning, and they find that Dagon has fallen in worship at Yahweh again. Except this time, it says his head is decapitated, and his hands are gone. In East Texas, we would say, Dagon, Dagon. This is right here a picture of something. Do you remember in 1 Samuel, you're going to see this, when David goes out to fight Goliath, the Philistine, and he conquers him, strikes him dead with a rock in the middle of his head. What does David then go run up to Goliath and do? Chops his head off. You know why? It's a sign of humiliation, defeat. My God has defeated your God. Our God, Yahweh, is in the temple of a false god, an idol, and says, Israel, what you cannot do, I will do for you. Thank you very much. Guys, do you realize this is exactly for us today? Do you realize our God does things for us that we don't even realize? He goes before us in the battle. We should be in the Word. We should be praying to Him and asking Him. We should put on all of the armor that we're commanded to in Ephesians 6. And then in Ephesians 6, it says, once you put on the armor, you stand firm because He fights our battle for us. This is what He does for us. Folks, in the world that you're in today, where you feel like everything's coming at you, ideologies, philosophies, false religions, how do I stand in my workplace? You stand. And you stand with the Word of God. And you know that He defeats all idols. This is letting us know that He does not need us. He fights His battle. But He invites us and calls us in to go. He calls us to go where His name is not proclaimed. He calls us to go in places that are extremely difficult and extremely hard. And He says, you go with my name, you go with my word, you go in my power, and you stand on my word, and I will fight the battle. I will defeat all idols. Our God stands alone today. Our God stands alone today. Today, in here, there are some of you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never bowed your knee We're talking about the kingdom of God. That's the whole series that we're talking about, the kingdom of God. You've never bowed your knee, you've never submitted, and you've never surrendered. And some of you, especially some of you men in here, you're probably going, I bow to no one, I don't submit, I don't surrender. Can I tell you that there's more freedom found in that right there than you'll ever have any idea? The strongest men come to the one where we get our strength and we bow to him and we say, Lord, it's yours. And it's then that we're able to stand. In bowing before him, we're able to stand because he defeats all idols. I also want to say this to you. God will not allow his people to continue to bow to false idols. He will not allow it. He will not allow it. At some point, he will allow us to be defeated also, so that he can go and battle the idol that we're not willing to cut down. Number two that I want you to see quickly as we go. Not only does he defeat all idols, he delivers a just judgment. Notice in verse 6. Verse 6 tells us, the hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. So here's what we have, just to kind of catch you up. In the first part of this scene, the Lord God is fighting all the battles for us. He's the one that is doing this. And while that is going on, the scripture tells us, while he's decapitating Dagon, cutting his hands off, while he is saying, listen, I'm the one that's in control, you guys should see this. Now then, the scripture tells us that all around, while this is going on in Ashdod and the territories, that the people were breaking out in tumors. Now, in this, the passage is written originally. We have it translated in English. In Hebrew, it's the word that we get hemorrhoids from. Sounds painful, doesn't it? He says they broke out in tumors. Listen, God's judgment is just. His judgment is just. He's inflicting justice, his just judgment, upon people who do not know him. You know why he's doing that? To draw them to himself. This word tumor can also mean, when you couple it with chapter 6, and chapter 6, we're going to see, I'm going to give you a little heads up, they're going to try to send this ark back to Israel. And in it, because they're pagans, they said, we need to make some idols and send back with it. How about we make an idol, a gold idol, of these tumors? Sounds gross to me. We'll make gold tumors and mice. Gold tumors and mice. Many people believe, and it speaks about a plague, many people believe this is a form of the bubonic plague. Because when mice bite, many times the lymph nodes all around begin to swell. And then dysentery begins to happen, which breeds more and more mice that come. Folks, whatever it is, the Lord God has brought a just judgment. You know why he's brought that just judgment? To cause those who do not know him. He's saying to them, I've knocked your God down. I've decapitated your idol. I'm sending judgment on you so that you might turn to me. So that you might turn to me. Do you know what they do? Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says that they call together the town council of Ashdod, and when they call them together, they say, hey, we got an idea. Why don't we send this to Gath? We'll re-gift it. Let's send it on down the line. So they send it to Gath. You know what happens in Gath? The same things that were happening in Ashdod. The people in Gath go, hey, I got a good idea. Let's send this thing to Ekron. Let's see what happens down there. Let's send it to Ekron. Well, by this point, as this ark is coming and they see their brother Philistines coming, they see it coming. Everyone lines up outside and said, oh, no, you don't. Not coming here. I've seen what's gone on. We know what has happened. And then the scripture tells us that they have a town council that they call together. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 tells us, as the people of Ekron cry out, it says, so they sent the ark of God to Ekron, but as soon as the ark of God came to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, they have brought around to us the Ark of God of Israel to kill us and our people. Are you catching this? They know and recognize the Ark has come in. Dagon is gone. He's knocked him down. No one else has done this to us. We have tumors. The plague has hit us. At this point, I don't know. I'm not a smart man, but I probably would have gone, maybe we ought to check out the one true living God. I'm serious. Maybe we should check out the one true living God. Because you realize before we get too far away, did you realize that we, John Calvin says that the heart of man is an idol factory. Do you realize that we begin to make idols? Kyle, what do you mean? No, we don't have any gold. There's no gold idols around here. We don't have little statues around. This is Middle Tennessee. Are you kidding me? Folks, did you realize that down Shelbyville Highway, about 10 miles just past Joby Jackson, there is a new, brand new $13 million Hindu temple? Right before it opened, I took a lot of our staff and we went down there one morning and I said, we're going to prayer walk this place. We're going to ask the Lord to tear down these idols that they might come to know him. And a monk opened the door. He said, y'all want to come in? It wasn't quite like that. We couldn't understand him. But it basically, he was asking, we want to come in. I looked around. I said, I'm going. Y'all coming? We all went. We got in there and I said, I need you to pray. We're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to tear this place down, bring down the idols. One of our staff members said, we're going to ask him to redeem it and give it to us. I'm going, ooh, I don't know. The Lord can do it. In there, we're praying. I pull my phone out. No shame. I just start taking pictures. Did you know that there are three gold idols my size propped up where people bow to her? Do you know you can go down Old Nashville Highway? There is a Buddhist temple with idols. You can go down Barfield. There is a Buddhist temple with idols. You can drive over to Bradyville Highway. There is an Islamic mosque. They have no idols, but they worship a false god. No graven idols. They worship a false god. You say, oh, wow. But did you realize that you and I set up idols in our own heart? They may not be gold and silver and bronze, but they may be plastic. It may be green dollar bills. It may be images that we've seen online. Do you realize that our idols promise us something they can never deliver? We're worshiping money. Do you realize you can never have enough money because someone else always has just a little bit more? And when you grab it, the scripture tells us that there are people who trust in money. They think it's a strong tower and it's going to protect them like a high wall. Do you realize the more money you get, the more you desire more and more and more? Now listen, I'm not into poverty gospel. You need to hear me. But I'm also not into, I've just got to have just a little more. Do you realize just a little more will send, it'll eat you alive. It promises wealth and protection. You know what it does? It brings greed. That's what it does. The desire for this person, they're going to fix everything I have. At home, they don't listen to me. They don't give me emotional attention. They don't this, they don't this, they don't this. And you think if I go here, because the lie is, it's going to fix everything. Do you know what's really? It's going to bring death.
That's right.
It brings death. You think it's going to bring life. Because he or she back here doesn't fix it. It will bring death if you go in that direction. I'm gonna make it really awkward for just a moment. I'm going to ask you, are you man or woman enough in this moment just to say, Lord, is there something in my life that is set up in my heart that is becoming the potential for an idol? You know how it's potential for an idol? Listen, a good thing can become an idol. Do you realize your kids and your family can become an idol in your life? I want to ask you for just a moment, and we're going to sit here for those who are willing to take it. Lord, is there something in my life right now? Would you take a moment and just ask him. Here's what I know, believer. Because you are a child of God and you are a part of his covenant family, he will not bring judgment on you. Do you know why? Because your judgment and my judgment has been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. He absorbed the wrath of God against my sin. So therefore, you and I will not face judgment. You and I will not face judgment. But can I tell you what Hebrews chapter 12 says? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 tells this. In fact, that whole section, I would love for you to see it. Hebrews is in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises the son whom he receives. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives." What this passage is teaching is this, is that if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is your Lord, he is your Savior, you've entered into a covenant, you are a son or a daughter of the King, therefore his judgment against you has been paid, the penalty's been paid because of Jesus, but like a good father, a father who is good, disciplines his children. A mother who loves her children, she disciplines them. This is how we know they're children, the scripture tells us. And so as we, as his covenant bearers, are running through our life, many times allowing things to take root up in our heart, we set something up on a pedestal that we begin to inadvertently, at first, bow down to. I want to say to you, as his covenant child, he will discipline us. Not because he does not love us, but because he loves us. Meaning, he will come and begin to chop down that idol in your life. He will chop it down. And let's, folks, when you begin to sense there's something as a child of God that is taking the place of the one true living God, Yahweh, the one who defeats all idols, and you begin to realize, oh my goodness, I think I have an idol. I want to tell you, it's much more comfortable for you to knock it down and to burn it than for him to come and take it from you. He loves us. He loves us so much that he's not going to let us stay where we are as his children. He's not going to allow it. And can I tell you that that discipline, as hard as it would be, is a grace of the Lord in your life. I remember with my children when they were small, we would tell them, Amy and I would tell them, we're praying that if you're in the middle of something, that the Lord would let it be found out now. While we can still walk with you and care for you and help you in these things. Listen, I want you to know that if there's something that you're hiding, bring it forth. That doesn't mean there wouldn't be discipline, but it's better for you and for us as a family for you to tell us and then we can work through it. Folks, we're children of God. And when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, his just judgment to the unbeliever, he brings this to them to draw them to repentance. His discipline for us as his children is to call us to return to life, because an idol will always lead to death. Always lead to death. Number three. Not only does he defeat our idols, and he always will, he delivers a just judgment, and he is always right in his judgment. He's always right in his judgment. Number three, God demands our worship. God demands our worship. Notice in verse 11 and 12, it says, speaking about the Philistines, it says, "They sent therefore and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines." So now then, all the five cities, all the lords come together. And they're there in Ekron. And it says, the Philistines, and they said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place." God has obviously done his work. And he now says, guys, it's time to go home. So the Philistines come together and said, "Let him return to its own place so that he may not kill us and our people." I need to say this. Hebrews also tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. For there was a deathly panic throughout the whole city. the hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. I wish I could tell you that that cry that went up to heaven was a cry of repentance. It was just, stop, stop, I want it to be done. Here they are as the Philistines. They've recognized, you heard them, get this away because we know this is from the God of the Israelites. God has decapitated Dagon. Dagon's fallen in worship. There's all kinds of physical presence things that are happening. And not once do they say, maybe we should turn to him. Today, there are probably things happening in your life right now that you're wondering. It very well could be a flashing light. Turn to me. Turn to me. Do you notice what he says here? They didn't know. They didn't surrender. They didn't turn. Just get it over with. Have you ever been sharing your faith with somebody and you thought they're like everything in their life has led to this point, and you're telling them about Christ and about how he can change. He's changed me. He can change you. And you realize they'll end up saying, yeah, works for you, but I'm not going to do that. Sad. This is where they are. Do you know why God was bringing them to this point? Because they were worshiping false gods, false idols. And he was saying, I'm the only one that can fulfill what you're searching for. Today, the Lord Jesus has brought you here. Believer and non-believer. To the non-believer, he's brought you here to say, the false idols that you've been trusting in, the things of your life that have been, you feel like are swirling and scattered, and I don't know how I'm going to make it, I don't know what's going to, he's brought you here to say, worship me. I'm worthy of your worship. I will covenant with you like I have other people in this room, and I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will walk with you through what it is that you're walking through. So today, if you do not trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going, man, I know who he is, gone to church, I'm here with a friend, the stuff of the world right now brought me here. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ and his Spirit brought you here today to hear he is worthy of your worship. To the believer in here, he will knock down anything that's in your life that is trying to take over the worship that only he deserves. That only he deserves. And my prayer for you today is this. If it's money, if it's sex, if it's pills, if it's porn, if it's another person, if it's dollar bills and hundreds that your stock portfolio, this vision, this picture, my kids, whatever it is, would you take it off the stand you've put it on, lay it down and say, Lord, I come to you, I'm coming to your feet. This is yours. Because he loves us too much to leave us where we are. If you're his child, he loves you too much to let you continue to do what you're doing. Jesus, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the power of your Spirit, and I would like to ask you today to open the eyes, the blind eyes, the dead hearts. I would ask that you would open them and that you would save them. Father, I pray that you would give them faith to be able to respond to you. And God, I pray that they would come and that they would let someone know. God, I'm asking today for the believer that is sitting in this room who something has taken root in their life that has become an idol. Your Spirit has revealed that to them in this moment. Lord, I would ask that today you would, your hand, your heavy hand, your gracious heavy hand would be upon their heart, and the Spirit would convict them and that they would lay that down. Lord Jesus, we trust you and we magnify only you today. Jesus, may you be glorified, for you stand alone. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things.